Hello, hello, and welcome to SciComm Bites, short reflections on science communication with tips and suggestions that you can put into practice right away. I'm Suzanne Whitby, the founder of SciComm Success, and today I'm thinking about how metaphors shape the way we communicate science and connect with others. I recently read an essay by Anne Spirkland in Nature Reviews Immunology. In the essay, she writes about how metaphors are vital for research communication. As an immunologist and a baker, she drew on a wide range of metaphors, including free-from cakes to tailor-made clothes. For those of you who aren't in the know, free-from cakes might be something like a cake that is free from gluten. In doing this, she became one of Norway's most visible voices during COVID. In her essay, she argues that metaphors don't just simplify complex messages. She argues that metaphors have the capacity to work on many different levels. They help non-specialists understand complex concepts. They give researchers a shared language. They turn complexity into elevator pitches, and they build public trust, which is something that Spirkland saw firsthand during COVID. She even suggests that the use of metaphors can make scientists themselves better, because in finding, choosing, and using them, metaphors can help to force clarity and introduce new perspectives. For scientists, researchers, and science communicators, I think that there are a few lessons to be learned here. Using metaphors carefully and intentionally can be an important and valuable part of your science communication practice. They can help you avoid using language that has been overused. They can help you spot and eliminate jargon, or if necessary, spot jargon so that you can define terms in a way that your audience can understand. And I think, too, that in choosing metaphors with your audience in mind, you, as a communicator, have the opportunity to invite people in. You can help them gain an insight into the real complexity in and relevance of your work. I also think that using metaphors can challenge you to reframe the way people understand how the actors in your research behave. And I'll give you an example of this from Spirkland's essay. Spirkland is a professor of medicine, and her research interests include T-cell activation and autoimmunity. She talks about how military metaphors are popular in her discipline. Immune cells are likened to soldiers ready to attack. This makes non-experts see their bodies as a battleground. Spirkland introduces an alternative metaphor, positioning the immune system as a democracy with strict controls about what foreign entities are admitted. This reframes the story of the body into one governed by rules and balance, not just conflict. Although I'm not a life scientist, I can't help but wonder if this use of metaphor as a way to reframe the story might also foster a healthier relationship between a patient and their body. Just a thought. So what's the takeaway today? For me, it's that good metaphors don't just explain. They also connect, persuade, and build trust. We'll come back to metaphors again in a later episode. They're a very deep well. There's a metaphor for you. But for now, I'll leave you with a question. What metaphor might you use in communicating your science or research that will help your audience connect to your message? That's something for you to think about. Thanks as always for listening to SciComm Bites. If you would like to explore more or bring science communication training to your team or simply get in touch for a chat, you'll find me at SciCommSuccess.com. Have a great day, a good week, and I look forward to having you along for the next installment of this tiny podcast. Bye for now.